22nd head coach at Michigan Tech. Throw a shot.
I am a Youper.
In front there for L'Esperance. Backhand to the front. Here's a shot. Oh, Gillies with the goal.
I love the UP.
Gould got it going on now. Big time speed coming in. Goes wide. Centers it in front. Shot. What a play by Gavin Gould.
And my heart is here.
To the blue line. Penalty. The penalty is over. Here's Leibinger. Shoot.
Huskies.
This is the Joe Schaan Hour on the voice of the Huskies, Mix 93 WKMJ. Brought to you by Morty's Gas Station, Dr. Daniel Reminga of the Northern Foot Care Center in Houghton, the Kaliva Cafe, Kuna Automotive, Coca-Cola of Hancock, Bucko's Party Store, the Wickley Agency, Superior Smiles, the Michigan Tech Campus Bookstore and University Images, Peterlin Distributing, Lake Accounting and America Group Retirement Strategy Centers, and the Turbo Agency. And now with the head coach of the Michigan Tech Hockey Huskies, Joe Schaan, here is your host, Dirk Hembroff.
All right, thank you very much, and we're ready to go. 60 minutes of Michigan Tech Hockey Talk here on Mix 93 WKMJ with the Joe Schaan Hour. Head coach Joe Schaan in our studio. Coming off a weekend down at number 12, Mankato. Minnesota State Mankato taking on the Huskies last weekend, Friday and Saturday night at the Verizon Center. The Huskies played a good weekend of hockey, but just could not come out with any points. 3-1 on Friday night and 5-3, tough one on Saturday night to lose. And Coach, we wanted to get something out of that weekend. We knew it would be difficult because of how talented they are. They certainly showed they have a lot of talent on that team for Coach Mike Hastings.
Yeah, they played well on the weekend, and it's good to be here this morning. It's not the show I was hoping to have. I didn't jump out of bed and want to come back and rehash that weekend for sure, but it was they're a good hockey team. They played well. They executed when they needed to execute, and full credit to Mankato. I thought our guys competed hard. I thought we had good discipline in the series, and there's certainly things that some adjustments we made that are going to help us going forward.
You watched a lot when watching the highlights from over the weekend, and we see what you are talking about and how they are able to get 2-3 guys in front of our goaltender when they are controlling the puck and then get those rebound goals, and a lot of their goals were from that kind of play.
Yeah, they were the majority of their goals were second chance type opportunities, and we focused on that, and again, they made us better on the weekend. I thought Saturday night's game was a really good hockey game. Just kind of got away from us a little bit, but they made us better in the way that we have to compete, the way that we have to play. The learning opportunity that we got from will certainly help us. The adversity we face will certainly help us down the road. And what I'm most proud of is the discipline that we showed. Going through the series, I thought that our guys showed, again, a no-quit attitude, playing it right through to the last whistle.
You changed up the lines a little bit on Saturday night, and for the most part, that looked like that worked really, really well.
Yeah, what it did is it gave us balance. We were a one-trick pony with the Lucchini line. They were carrying us for the most part with some good examples by their lines, but offensively they were carrying us for the most part. And we felt on the bench on Saturday night that we had the ability to throw a little bit more out to get some diversity. And guys had a stronger purpose, a stronger conviction on Saturday, which helped as well. And that's why I say going forward, I think that we have a little bit better feel to our lineup. Going forward, we like what L'Esperance brought to that line. You know, he brought a little bit out of Reitmeier and things like that. There was a lot more balance. There was a lot more things that we could do, we felt, in different situations and to allow us to be more competitive. We scored 3 goals on the night, in that building, which is a good thing and they had some other chances. So I think that that's going to help us going forward.
Does changing up the lines, too, not only give you balance throughout the lines, but also maybe just a little bit of a new start for some of the guys, saying, hey, I got somebody different, maybe this is going to work, you know?
Yeah, I think it does. We left the Stamen line together because that line has been too good to split up as far as what they're doing, their rotations, their how they play off each other, the energy that they bring. And we just juggled up the other lines to try to give us a look that we wanted that would complement each other. We went back with the BC line that we'd had together a couple of years ago with Gillies and Lucchini. and Gould, and that line seemed to give us a little bit of a spark. So with Baltus, not Gould. So that line gave us some good minutes and gave us and got all those guys going in the game that we weren't getting. The involvement that we wanted out of them, it seemed to reunite them and reinvigorate them. So I like what we have coming out of the weekend, other than the points or lack of the side of the growth. I think the camaraderie that we got as a team coming out of it. I think we're still growing. We're trying to get better in every facet of what we do, and I think we grew in a lot of ways.
What about the end of Saturday night, Coach? You said you took a time out there to settle the team down a little bit, and we did take some unsportsmanlike penalties towards the end of that game that you don't want to comment too much on until you had a chance to go back and look at it. Did you have a chance to kind of reassess that?
Yeah, I did. I watched it, and I actually we've had several conversations with the league office on Saturday night's contest. I think that's obvious that would occur. And what I want to know was how was our discipline? And what happened on is we had a player, at the end in frustration shoot the puck down the ice. There was no verbal abuse to the officials. There was no taking advantage of another player. There were no cheap shots that our guys threw out, and there was certainly a tremendous amount of frustration. So we'll deal with that one instance internally and make that happen. But other than that, I think our guys for the most part handled themselves I'm not gonna say hostile, just in a, you come out of it just feel you're looking for opportunities to see how guys perform, all of us, staff, players, everybody, see how you perform in a big time game, a game with ramifications, a game that means something, how they perform down the stretch and in that critical situation. And really, I thought, Friday night, I thought it was marginal on Ford, watching it back, very marginal. But we didn't come out of that feeling. We just felt that on that Mankato scored with the empty or with the man out on the delayed penalty and then scored at the, shortly after the power play ended. Credit to them. We have to get better in those situations. On Saturday, the frustration set in because we were trying so hard to maintain our discipline, and the guys I thought did that, played right through it, but we just never got that opportunity to see how we could perform in that venue. And I think the guys really wanted to finish that game out and want to have a chance to finish that game out, and I think that was kind of taken from us a little bit.
Well, let's take a look at some of the highlights of Friday night's game. First, it was a 3-1 final. The thing we don't want to do is give them an early goal. We did, though. And here it was early in the game for the Mavericks to take a 1-0 lead on Friday.
Draw one inside of the zone of the Mavericks by Minnesota State. They'll fire it down. Hustling back now is Mark Ock. He'll protect the puck, sends it around on the wing, but Winger didn't get over there in time. Here's a shot for the point. Rebound scores! Shai took the shot for the point, and the rebound was right there. And the Mavericks take a 1-0 lead early on in the game. Getting the goal for Minnesota State, Michaelis, the German native, on that number one line, 1-0 Minnesota State.
What I thought was, and I guess you would too, what I thought was so frustrating about that goal is that we win the draw and have possession of the puck, and then we just kind of misplayed it a little bit back to their point.
Yeah, it's that poise when you on transition, that poise of being able to make a play. And what happened on that, we also drifted on our coverage. We were watching the play behind the net. We followed the play behind the net, our net front defenseman, and they had a guy that kind of coasted in the net and got behind us, and we just absolutely didn't track him. So learning curve, learning opportunity, but a goal that you don't want to give up. You're really trying. You need to be aware for the entire time you're on the ice. You need to be focused on your toes. You need to understand your responsibility. You're looking for that competitive greatness in your athletes, and on that one, it was just a mental lapse early in the game.
We had a couple power plays in that first period on Friday night, Coach. Didn't score. Only two power play shots on goal. It didn't seem like we got a whole lot going, but even then, I could see that there were some opportunities there that we would maybe be able to capitalize on later, because they were making our feet move right away. They weren't letting us stand still on our power play.
So the puck needed to do the work for us, and we made some adjustments on it that actually helped us. We got a number of good scoring chances on the power play on the weekend, and got a power play goal on Saturday night. So it was, again, all these things are abilities to learn and to But the first, especially our second unit, didn't get any zone time on those first two power plays. So our first unit had decent zone time, but they were really putting a lot of pressure on Mark Ock, and so we had to give him some relief.
Ian Scheid was whistled for a check-in from behind in the second period. That gave us the 5-minute major power play in that second period that we weren't able to score on, but we got some pretty good opportunities on that one, if I remember.
There was a lot of good looks on that, and it was kind of an extended period, so weren't able to make it capitalize. But our power play, we struggled on Saturday against Huntsville. We struggled. And I think that us not scoring on the power play gave Mankato also the opportunity to take, to be a little bit more aggressive, to chase a little bit harder, to drive a little bit deeper, to hit a little bit, put more risk in line, and,
right.
And they weren't afraid of us. And then I think that changed a little bit when our guys got moving the puck around a little bit better.
All right, so we go to the third period on Friday night, and it's still a 1-0 game. Huskies are in it, and they tie the game up. Justin Misiak, who really is a lot of fun to watch, ties the game up for Michigan Tech.
Penalty is over, and the Huskies get it outside of the zone. Misiak will pick it up out of the box. Misiak walking in, quick scores! Misiak, he buried it! Top shelf over the corner! Out of the penalty box, and the Huskies tie this game up 1-1 with 16:31 remaining.
You know, we talked to Misiak before the game Saturday night about that goal, and just asked him, what were you thinking coming down? Because there was no way for him to bring it to the front of the net. They played him perfectly. He was driven out wide enough, and he just made a brilliant shot.
And he was on a strong side, so the angle was even that much less. But he's a tremendous hockey player. He brings a lot of energy. He brings a lot of compete. He loves to play. He's got speed. He's got, he's just been a tremendous asset to our team and giving us a lot of minutes. He's now getting power play time. He's just expanding his role on our club, and we need that. We need that growth out of our young players.
All right, so it's tied. That ties the game up 1-1 early in the second period, or pretty early, 3:29. No assist on that goal, unassisted for Justin Misiak, his third of the season. And then it's just kind of a dogfight going down. And then here's the play, a delayed penalty against Michigan Tech, and Spooner hops on the ice for the Mavericks.
Keegan Ford tried to take it away. Delayed call against Michigan Tech, didn't see what happened. Look at the extra attacker out there. Here's a chance now for the Mavericks in low. Shot, blocked in front. Rebound right there, score! They get the extra attacker out there. Spooner hopped on the ice and made the play to the net. And then a rebound was there. And batting it home was Knutson to give the Mavericks their second lead of the game.
So what did we not do right on that play?
Well, they had the extra man at the loose jack in front of the net there, and it was Knutson. So Spooner came out, he made a play to the net and got it right to the net. Then they had five bodies around the net. Now, we had an opportunity to pick up that man. We were kind of watching on the back door. We were kind of watching the coverage. And that play right there is kind of a reason why I changed lines on Saturday night, because I just wanted to make sure that we had a little bit more grit with the players that we were having on in those critical situations at that critical time. I mean, it's 5 minutes left in the game. You want to make sure that you have players out there that are really going to take care of their defensive responsibilities. So on that one, again, we lapsed on it. We kind of just watched it, and it was just a dogfight in the crease. And going in, that was a point of emphasis for us, is that we had to take care of those plays around the net. And you see how hard they attack.
Right.
I mean, we've been watching it for – I've been watching it now here. This is the fourth year that I've been watching Mankato just, pile into our net. Jamie Phillips used to get absolutely run. And Gron, they just push him in the pot, and sometimes they count the goal, sometimes they don't, and you have to keep them away, and really you have to be allowed to keep them away from your goal. You have to be able to defend your goal as well. So right there, that was where I made the decision that we wanted to have a little bit more grit and compete on a couple of lines that we could make sure that we ended the game with.
So we go on the penalty kill because of the rule that was established a couple of years ago, even though they scored at the extra attacker, and the penalty just expires and they score again.
Jeremko walking in, tries to wrap around, centers it in front, loose puck at the back side, they score! Munson could not get over there, and I'm not sure if Munson is not happy with himself or not. It was kind of a slow motion play on the back door, and it won't go down as a power play, but it really was, as the Mavericks score right at the end of that power play for Michigan Tech, or for the Mavericks. It is a two-goal game for the first time here tonight.
It was a backhand goal by Brad McClure, who got the pass and actually had to switch to his backhand and just kind of lobbed it into the net, and should he have been picked up?
Yeah, we had him. Our penalty kill was good. We didn't give them really anything prior to that on that kill effort. They had some really good individual plays that got them a couple of scoring chances throughout the game on that. They really hadn't done anything on that one, and that was a big time of the game, under 5 minutes, and we're now down by a goal that was just scored, and we rotated actually on this one a little bit too aggressively, and pursued a little bit too deeply to the net to cover the net, and McClure was kind of standing outside that and just was able to get it through before we adjusted when that puck popped loose to Packy. Wasn't able to track it. It came out of traffic in front and kind of bounced to the weak side, but I was pleased with the effort against a really good power play. You could tell that they were having some trouble with it. On this particular play, they started circling around, just carrying the puck around the net a couple of times to just try to find a way to get the puck through, and we covered it pretty well, and again, we over-pursued on it, over-covered on it, but I was pleased with the effort of our guys, with the shot blocking, with everything we did in the game. We didn't give up a tremendous amount on the penalty kill.
All right, and that was the final goal. The Huskies, I think, got a power play later on in the period there in the third, but weren't able to capitalize on. 3-1 the final. The shots were 33-18 in favor of Minnesota State. You said the scoring chances were 15-10, something like that?
Yeah, 16-12. 16-12? Yeah. We told our guys to quit watching the shot clock. They jumped 9 shots on one power play where they had two attempts at goal and jumped 9 shots. And so we just told our guys to quit watching that shot clock and just play the game. It was a relatively even game for the most part. I would give the edge to Mankato with a veteran lineup. They returned their team. They returned their guys and then filled in a couple good guys. So that's a quality hockey team, and I was happy that we were right there with them right to the end and had a chance.
All right, we'll talk about a very exciting Saturday night game against Minnesota State when we come back here on the Joe Schott Hour. Still have time to get your question in to Joe, and you can email it to me, dj@themix93.com. The Joe Schott Hour continues right after this.
Hey there, Husky fans. This is Sully from the Campus Store. The Michigan Tech Campus Store is located in the Memorial Union Building on the Michigan Tech Campus. And University Images is located in the Student Development Complex at the top of McGinnis Drive. They are your official headquarters for all your favorite Michigan Tech apparel and souvenirs. Plus, you can ship your packages directly from either store for out-of-town friends and family. Stop by the Michigan Tech Campus Store and University Images, where the public is always welcome. Or shop online at bookstore.mtu.edu for all your Michigan Tech Huskies apparel and souvenirs.
Stock up on all your favorite snacks and beverages at Morty's Gas Station and Convenience Store in downtown Lake Linden. Check out Morty's walk-in cooler for all your favorite adult beverages. Morty's has a great selection of wines to choose from with monthly beer and wine specials store-wide. Don't forget about all your snacks and the latest movie rentals. Morty's is more than just a gas station. Taxes and deposit are not included on sale items. At Morty's, Lake Linden.
I like my burger with mustard.
No, mustard and ketchup.
And a Coke.
It's got to be well done.
Only medium rare, come on.
I only want grass-fed beef.
No, Angus.
On the grill.
Now, flat top.
You want a homemade veggie burger
with a Coca-Cola.
Iceberg lettuce.
No way.
Avocado, dude.
Arugula.
Nah, jalapeno.
Can I have a turkey burger?
What? Turkeys are for Thanksgiving, man.
Burger with a Coke.
Brioche.
No, sesame seed.
Just a regular bun.
American cheese.
Nah, man, you gotta go with Swiss.
No, cheddar.
You gotta use both hands.
No, one hand.
And wash it down with a Coke.
My burger is best with a Coke.
Every burger needs a Coke.
Coke and a burger.
An ice cold Coke.
I'll agree to that.
A burger and a Coke.
It doesn't take a step-by-step recipe or even a plan to make a delicious meal. It doesn't take a freshly starched apron or an official foodie degree from social media. It just takes an ice-cold Coke, delicious food, and good friends. So whip up a meal, however you like. Grab some ice-cold Coke from your local supermarket and taste the feeling today.
In sports, movement is a force to be reckoned with. Your feet fuel that force. At Northern Foot Care Center, Dr. Remingan knows how to treat athletes, getting them back in action sooner. When your feet feel good, performance increases. Games are won and records are crushed. You want answers? We have them. Technology cutting edge. Experience over 28 years. Results game changing. Pro sports teams have the best foot and ankle experts. Now you have one. Call 482-9950 or click northernfootcare.com.
Back to the Joe Schott Hour here on Mix 93 WKMJ. We're going to take a look at Saturday night's game. I know I'm not a tweeter, but Mitch Lake is, and he was talking about how many tweets were going on between Minnesota State fans and Michigan Tech fans as far as the officiating and the I shouldn't say officiating, as far as the penalties in the third period. But we'll get to that in just a moment. Let's take a look at it. The big thing going into the game, coach, is that you broke up the L'Esperance, Lucchini, Gavin Gould line. And, boy, I just noticed right away, just like you said, the balance that you were looking for.
Yeah, and we got that balance. It gave us the ability to do some different things. And, again, what it really did is it got guys like Jake Jackson really involved in the game, who had a tremendous game. It got Brent Baltus really involved in the game, who had a great game. It got Grayson Reitmeier really involved in the game. Gilly's involved in the game. So it got a lot of other guys ignited a little bit, and there also comes a time within your group where you get so dependent on certain individuals, and this is probably in every walk of life, that you don't that the other guys settle into a secondary role, and that's what we didn't want to happen. We want everybody to grow. It's important here that everybody grows, that everybody improves, that everybody feels that they're a part of it. From the guys that are playing to the guys that aren't playing, that everybody feels that everything's happening justly. And so that was important, and it got a lot of guys going. I think it renewed a lot of vigor. It brought some competition maybe between the lines to earn some additional ice time, where Lucha's line was getting all that critical ice time, or a lot of that critical ice time. It got us to manage our shifts a little bit better, that we could throw other things out there and manage shift time a little bit better, which was really important to us. Because what was happening is the Luch line was tending to take too long, and they weren't getting the puck out of the zone. Mm-hmm. And then they still want that offensive opportunity. They still want to carry the hockey team, so they extend the shift out. Well, then it comes back and they're hemmed in their zone, and then things happen, like the goal that was scored, the fourth goal with the delayed penalty, or the second goal with the delayed penalty on Friday night, where overextended and miss a coverage. So I think it really helped the trust in the team, the character of the team, the work ethic of the team, the integrity of what we're doing, and I'm really proud of the way the guys responded.
On the downside of how we played on Saturday night, did it feel like we gave the puck away too much, Coach? In the call of the game, I mentioned another giveaway. We took it away from them quite a bit too. But did we turn the puck over too much in that Saturday night game?
I think individuals did. I think, and I think some critical individuals, and you and I were talking before about that. Some critical right. individuals that need to be used to those types of situations. That you need to understand where they can place the puck and things. But again, some of that we were able to rectify, especially at the forward position by using other players that were playing stronger, that were hanging on to it more, that were bringing the puck into harder ice. Because I know that we had talked in the pregame show. That we needed to make sure that we were spending our time in quality ice. Out against Huntsville, we were a bit perimeter. I thought Friday night that we could have played more in hard ice, and we wanted to focus on that and bringing the puck between the dots more and bringing the puck into their crease area and their zone. So it gave us the ability to not, to give more guys a chance to make an example and to validate themselves, and I think we got that out of it, and hopefully other players see that and learn from it, or else their role diminishes. Some people have to grow, some people have to actually diminish so others can grow as well. And you have to give the accolades and the rewards to who earns it. This is athletics. It's not government. It's not handouts. It's not entitlements. It's in athletics you earn what you get, and we have that talk all the time. There are no shortcuts. You have to pay your price, and you have to get it done, and you have to grow and get better. And I thought that many guys did that, and some of the guys you're talking about didn't. But the good thing is that they weren't in the roles on Saturday night that they were in on possibly on Friday night.
Let's take a look at the first goal of the game. Another great shot by a Husky to get the first goal for Michigan Tech.
And picked up now by L'Esperance, but it got through him. Knutson, who got the game winner last night, will have it taken away, and the Huskies start back. Jackson walking in. Tickwick scores! Jackson with the goal! What a shot past the Cuvier from the right side, and the Huskies take an early 1-0 lead, 54. 34 seconds into the first period.
Well, you can see how stunned I and how quickly that went in. I went in before we even knew it. Hit the post. I watched that replay several times, Coach, and maybe you can help me out. Did that go off at all the defenseman's stick that was trying to get into the shot lane there?
I don't think it did.
Okay.
But it was a great play. You know, I liked that line. I liked Les Perrance. And Reitmeier's a big, rangy guy that was trending a little bit in the opposite direction the last few games after having a couple of really good games for us. So you put him with Les Perrance, and they did a really good job for us. And then you got Jackson who used his speed and his size and strength. I really liked watching that line. They did a lot of tremendous things for us on Saturday night.
It's a great shot right off the post, and what we needed to an early lead in that building. 55 seconds in, Grayson Reitmeier and Mitch Ranke get the assist, and the Huskies are up 1-0. But the game is tied on a goal by Lutz.
Hookinson now, who outshot everybody, I believe, in the game last night. He'll move it up, and across the line come the Mavericks. They slide it back on the drop man. Over! Here's a shot scored! Oh, a pretty play by Minnesota State. Burying the puck was Reggie Lutz, and it's a 1-1 hockey game.
You know, watching that goal over there, it didn't seem like there was much going on. Didn't seem like a real easy drop pass, and then but they somehow found the open guys.
Yeah, NHL play. NHL play that they took advantage. They jumped up in the play. They made the play fast, attacking the net with speed, with their feet moving. I talked to the individual that was covering Lutz. He had him. He was on him, but he just wasn't. He didn't have him, and he wasn't on him. You know, and he said, "I had him," but he, again, unaware, lack of awareness on doing your job. And Lutz, instead of handling the puck, if he handles the puck at all, it's a different situation. He just stopped it and shot it as quickly as he could in stride. And Packy wasn't able to get over there, and again, our coverage was good, but it wasn't complete. We dropped the ball a little bit, and a good team scored, and those are lessons learned.
Huskies, the game tied 1-1 at that point after one period of play. Shots in the first period, 14-7 in favor of Minnesota State. The Mavericks take their first lead of the game, this one from Zeb Knutson, who had a great weekend. This at the 2:44 mark from Seas and McNeely.
Body checks are picking up here in the second period without a doubt. And now across 2-on-1, 3-on-1 for the Mavericks. Here's a shot score. They just don't make any mistakes on those opportunities. And the Mavericks come back and take their first lead of the game, 2-1.
I know that's a tough situation to stop, Coach, a 3-on-1 like that. Could we have played that at all better defensively? I mean, you got three good guys coming down on you.
Yeah, we could have done a better job on the line change. We didn't get the guys out there quick enough on the line change, and it wasn't not so much not getting the guys out quick enough. It was the guys that chose to make the line change at the time. They chose to do it without the puck getting deep, and Mankato, to their credit, as much as we do, we transition quickly. They transitioned quickly, and again, those are guys, veteran players who have been through a lot of wars, been through a lot of highly competitive games, are used to getting it done in big games in good situations, and they made no mistake. And it was again, those two plays, we didn't give up much. We didn't give up much, and two of them end up in our net. So they capitalized.
So that made it 2-1 in favor of the Mavericks in the second period. The time of that goal was 2:44 in period number two. But the Huskies come back. They get a power play and an extra attacker, 14-19. The time of the goal, Jake Jackson, second of the game.
Brickley takes it behind the net. Oh, knocked down, high stick. Huskies going to have a 5-on-3. Delayed call in front. Pass, shot, score!
Jackson with the goal, and let's get the controversy out of the way here, Coach, because everybody who listened to the game or watched the game or were at the game are wondering why we did not get a 5-on-3 here, and do you have the explanation on this?
Yeah, and it was the right call, and I've never seen it happen before. And what it is that if there is a major penalty, and I actually talked to Steve Piotrowski yesterday, a good friend of mine. He's the head of maybe of all officials in college hockey, but he's the head of the Big Ten. I've known him for many years. And on the play, what they do is they don't double jeopardize a team that's already serving a major, because the guy on the major cannot come out of the box. What would normally happen, would happen the night before, and it bit us, was that there was a delayed penalty and Mankato scored, and then our guy still served the penalty. If there's a guy in the box already serving a minor, and there's a delayed penalty against the team that's already serving the minor, and the goal goes in the net, the guy that's serving the minor comes out because the goal was scored, and then another player goes in for a full 2 minutes.
Gotcha.
The irony of it is on a 5 minute major, there can be 1 second left on the minor, but since it's a major and the player cannot come out of the box, there can be 1 second left on that major penalty when you score on another delayed penalty, and that penalty is wiped out. So it's kind of a, you know, there's so many things that would go into it that I was talking to Pi yesterday about and it was the right call. It was the right, and they said that they were going to go look at it. They said they thought they were getting it right. They'd let me know at the beginning of the next period, which they did. They came right out and they said we got it right, and they did have the right call. And we didn't argue it or question it. We'd never seen it. We just wanted an explanation. The thing that bothered me on that play is that they went right to the Mankato bench to let them know what was going on, and then went out to drop the puck. And we're the ones that we thought that we were going to get the five on three advantage. And wait a minute here, whoa! And they didn't want to come over and explain it to us. So then they came over, and I think he didn't want to say we think we got it right. But that's ultimately we think we got it right. And I said, how sure are you? And the guy said 80%, 90%. And then so he said, but I'll let you know, we're going to find out as soon as the period's over. And they did. They came out and they said they got it right. And actually his comment was, you owe me a beer at the Ambassador, we got it right. So that was the comment. So that they got, I give them credit for that, they got that one right in the game.
So again, just so people understand, because they had a 5 minute major being served during the delayed call goal, that delayed call penalty is wiped out.
Yeah, it totally nullifies it. I don't even think it went down in the books as a penalty. They totally wiped it out and nullified it. So we maintain what should really happen, in my opinion, on that, and this is what I was talking to Pi yesterday about, somehow they should develop the mechanism where 2 minutes goes on the clock. Mm-hmm. There's quirks to that we could sit and talk about for about 10 minutes and take up this show, but there's quirks that allow that not to happen. But this has actually been a... Now, if there's another major called, they both get served.
Sure.
They both get served because you have to serve the major. So, interesting set of circumstances.
Yeah, and I hope that helps everybody, because I was as confused as everybody else there. Once they didn't make the call, we were told up there it was because of it was already a penalty being served, and that's not what it was. It was because it was a major penalty being served. So got that straightened out. Huskies tied the game up with that goal by Jackson, and then that was Jackson's second of the game, third of the season. Justin Misiak and Alex Smith get the assist, and we're still in the second period. The Huskies weren't done.
And the Mavericks will clear it down. This will not be an icing this time, so coming way out is Munson, plays it up, sees the line change, and now the Huskies bringing it up the ice, but they can't come across cleanly. Now with Reitmeier, he'll walk in. Here's a pass. Jeff scores! Oh, there it is! Number 11, L'Esperance, with the goal. He's had great chances all game long, and he buried that one. What a feed there by Reitmeier. And the Huskies get their second lead of the game, 3-2, with a 1:50 left in the second period.
Reitmeier and Jackson to get the assist on Joe L'Esperance's sixth goal of the season. Not a lot of room there for Reitmeier to navigate that pass, but he made a nice play.
Oh, he's a good hockey player. And now hopefully with a little bit of... You know, with a little change in the lines, he can really start to prosper and start to evolve as a player. But the play on that kind of gets overlooked is the play that Packy made.
Right.
You know, he caught them in a line change. He threw that puck up. He gave us a chance to advance, you know, 2/3 of the ice. And then some skilled guys made some skilled plays. And I really was happy with Joe L'Esperance in that hockey game in every aspect of it, in his chase, in his hound, and in his strength on the puck, and what he brought to those other two players. I loved watching him play in that game. We had total confidence in him, and again, we really felt good. We felt good as a team going into the third period. We know we're playing a great team. They went in and handled BU handily in their rink on the road. BU second in the country. This is as good a team as you're going to see in college hockey. And our discussion with our guys is, fellas, that's how good we are. We're that good of a hockey team. We can be there as long as we keep evolving. And now we're looking for that poise, that competitive greatness, that ability to close it, to play our best when our best is needed. And that's what we were looking for. That was that opportunity to do that in the third period.
We go to the third period leading 3-2, and they tie it up on a goal from Mackey.
Here come the Mavericks. Walking in, a shot, and getting a stick on that one was Misiak. Centering pass in front. Score! Munson never knew it came from behind the net. A quick pass from behind the goal. Tie hockey game.
Well, this is something I wanted to ask you after the game on Saturday night, but it left my mind and I had forgotten.
Amazing, a lot of things left my mind after the game too.
But were we confused on where the puck was when it went behind the net?
You know what happened on that is the puck went off a stanchion,
right?
And it the angle that it was like the angle the shot went at it should have come out the other side of the net, and Justin Misiak went out on his point for coverage. Tried to block it, was in a great shot blocking lane. They shot the puck wide and it hit a stanchion right behind the goal and came back out to the same side. So by the time Misiak was able to recover on that, Mackey, who was a defenseman, had jumped in front of him because Justin turned around and looked. Their guy was shooting the puck, saw that it bounced back to the same side. Justin, when he turned around to look, Mackey popped in front of him, and then they made that quick play out to the front of the net and scored. So it was a bounce. Again, the coverage was good. Everything was good. We were playing great hockey. They got a bounce and they're aware enough. They have the talent. They have the that side of it where Mackey made a great play in jumping in and beating our man to the net.
Reggie Lutz was the guy that actually made the really good play. I thought he was the one that did the no-look pass, basically, straight back out to the front of the net and went right on the stick of Mackey and he buried it. So that made it a 3-3 game at the time. And then late in the period, we're not going to have to talk about all of the penalties, I guess, but we will in a second. But here are the final two goals to seal the deal for the
5-on-3 advantage now for the Mavericks. Here's a shot through traffic. Blocked in front. Again a shot. This one blocked in front. Loose puck right there. Rebound! Munson looking to kick it away, and it's kicked over to the corner. Shoveled back to the line, but not out. 10 seconds left to go in the 5-on-3. Here comes Brinkley with a shot. Save! Score! Mavericks will win it back. 5-on-3 advantage again for the Mavericks. Quick shot, save, rebound right there. They score. Nothing the Huskies can do. They're just overpowered.
2 6-on-3 goals or 5-on-3 goals for the Mavericks on the end there. That one scramble, I thought we had it. It looked like Packy was going to be able to cover it up, and he wasn't. And then they were able to get that shot from Brickley at the point.
Well, how much better could our guys play?
Yeah.
I mean, on the 5-on-3, on the first one, we're down under 10 seconds. We're killing it. They're scrambling around trying to do everything they can to get something at the net. Our guys are absolutely doing, I mean, the people who watch the game, you know, they know that, doing a great job, and you just can't go to that well. Right now, what's going on is our league office is listening to this. My boss is listening to this to hear what I have to say, and I'm going to be as polite as I can and as professional as I can and just say that very unfortunate that a hockey game of this caliber between these two teams that went at it like that came down to what our players had to go through in that hockey game. It was after the game I said I was concerned to make sure that it wasn't loss of discipline. It was just what our players had to go through was, in my opinion, at the Division I level is inexcusable. The night before, you can accept it. The night before we had our opportunity, there was a delayed penalty, marginal call for sure, late in the game, 1-1 hockey game, two great hockey teams battling, and that's where you're looking to come. Okay, boys, let's get over this. This is adversity. This is because you're going to get that. Saturday was uncalled for, in my opinion, and we're trying to do what we can do to get it remedied.
All right, we'll take a break. The final score, 5-3 in favor of Minnesota State, 39-19 the shots, and the Huskies 1-for-6 on the man advantage, 2-for-7 for Minnesota State. We'll be back with some of your questions. We're also going to preview the big weekend coming up at home against Bowling Green, and we'll take a look at some other matchups in the WCHA this past weekend and what's coming up. It's all part of the Joe Schott Hour here on Mix 93.
It takes 4 essential ingredients to brew Bud Light: barley, rice, water, and hops. But this is a 30-second commercial. So, here's the sound of barley malting. It's super quiet. Sorry. Here's to the beer you can always count on. Brewed to be America's favorite light lager. Bud Light, famous among friends. Enjoy responsibly. Bud Light Beer, AB, St. Louis, Missouri.
Alas, 12 years been sailing through the portage to Joy Seafood and Grill in downtown Houghton. Arr, a jambalaya bite warms me innards all through a cold Lake Superior winter night. With all you can eat 3 times per week, weigh anchor for a fast lunch bite or dinner with a brewski served up just right at Joy Seafood and Grill.
Not everyone has $1 million, but everyone can have $1 million smile. The smile that lights up a room, instantly puts people at ease. The smile that gives you the confidence to be you. Your smile is uniquely yours. Treasure it. Protect it. Superior Smiles, gentle quality dentistry for the entire family. With pediatric dentist Sarah Metlack, Doctors Fisher, Sarazen, Strong, and Sliss. Superior Smiles Family Dentistry in Hancock. And now in Lorium on 77 3rd Street. Call today for your appointment. 482-3621 Hancock, 337-5049 Lorium.
Steph from the Wickley Agency. From the moment she was born, I promised to love her, to protect her from all of the monsters under her bed, and to support her in all of her dreams. From the moment she was born, I promised that I would always provide for her, no matter what. That's why I bought life insurance from Auto Owners Insurance, to secure her future, no matter what. Do you have the life insurance your family needs? Give us a call at 482-1140 or stop by the Wickley Agency in Hancock.
In these turbulent political and economic times, are you having trouble mapping out your financial future? Let Gary Jorgensen, a financial advisor with the America Group Retirement Strategy Centers, assist you in the development of a financial strategy to help you achieve your financial goals. The America Group is located south of Houghton on M26, 1 mile past the mall in the Lake Accounting Building. Call 482-2370 for an appointment. Securities and advisory services are offered through LPL Financial, a registered investment advisor. Member FINRA, SIPC.
Oh, we're having a good time. Not talking about the results, but just talking about Tech hockey with head coach Sean here. And let's get to a couple of the. I know we've answered some of your questions already with the delayed call and all that stuff. Here's one of the questions for you, Coach. Seems the team concentrated a lot more on block shots and defense in the past, and took advantage of a lot of plays that resulted from that. Has that changed?
No. We want to do that, but the personnel's changed a little bit, and we're trying to get this personnel to take the same pride that Matt Roy took, that Shane Hanna took, that Mike Neville took, that Reed Sturrows took, that Chris Leibinger took. We're trying to get that C.J. Ike took. We're trying to get this group of player to take more earnest in that. I think we had a lot more of that on Saturday night. It's coming along. We actually showed a clip on one of the major clips that we showed after Friday night's game is, for those that watched the game, is the last goal that they got, how softly we played it, how we didn't go out on the point hard, how we didn't go out on the second point hard, how they got the puck, we didn't engage in the house very hard, and then how we didn't attempt to block their shot on the goal that ended up being the winner. And then we have a clip where Missiak forced a turnover in their zone behind the net, and the puck went out front to Seamus Donahue, and they had four guys diving, including the goalie. Do you remember that play when the goalie
absolutely.
Was out of the net? Four guys diving head first into a shot coming from Seamus. So, and we're trying to let them know that's the price you're playing. We had a little talk about it from Wayne Gretzky's book, and I talked to the guys about it. There's an excerpt in Wayne Gretzky's biography where he talks about that first time they lost. They got swept by the Islanders, and they lost on the island in four games. So Edmonton's an up and coming team. They're all young kids still, and they lost the Islanders. And what happened was after the game, Gretzky's walking out, and I think it was with Kevin Lowe. He was walking out with, and they had to walk by the Islanders dressing room. They were expecting to see these guys just hooting it up, and what they saw is the wives hooting it up, and they saw Clark Gillies in the ice tub, and they saw Brian Trotche on the bench getting a massage. They saw they were battle torn. All these old Islanders that just won the series, and Gretzky looked at Kevin Lowe and said, "That's why they won. That's what has to change." And that's what we talked about, and then showed that clip about what needed to change. And you know what? Saturday night was a great effort. Saturday night was, they made some good plays. You talked about it. There wasn't much room on some of the plays. The third goal, a play off the back stanchion. In position, we still got to finish a job. We're still growing. And again, we still have a lot of guys that didn't play significant roles that we're trying to get them to understand the detail of why they weren't in significant roles before and the opportunity that it has now for them to achieve their goals and to become complete athletes. But no, there's been no change. Actually, we're emphasizing it more, at least as much, let's say that, as we did before.
Can you just talk really quickly, Coach, about how recruiting is going? That's one of the questions here.
We're working hard at it. We were out again this weekend. We have a couple guys coming in this week. A guy that we had coming in on Friday, though, just announced yesterday he's going to Colorado College. He was coming in on a game on Friday. He's a underage kid, so he's coming in on his own dime on an unofficial visit, but he just committed. So, but we have two kids coming in, three kids coming in, two this week, and then one in about a week.
Coach, next question. One of them was, of the questions from this listener, we've already answered with the delayed call and that the officials did get that right. The next question is, rebounds have been an issue so far this year for Packy, although I thought Saturday night they were much better. Is this an area of concern, or do you think it has more to do with Packy not playing last year and just a matter of getting more games to get back up to speed?
Well, I think it comes down to a couple things. I think the thing that we work on, Packy is an elite puck stopper. He is an elite puck stopper. He's average at recovery at that stage of goaltending. I break down goaltending into three aspects I've talked about before. Your shot prep, your ability to stop the puck, and your recovery. And on the initial shot, Packy's shot prep is good. And on his shot stopping, he's very good at it. His recovery, which is really your next shot prep, is not. That's the part he has to work on. So it comes down to that we continue to work on with him. But he is still a tremendous athlete in the net. It also comes down to a different defensive core than we've had in the past. We gave up the rebounds in the past, trust me, but it's different when Matt Rory's absolutely manhandling somebody, or it's different when they don't want to go in there because Matt Rory or Cliff Watson are in there and they don't want to go into that ice because they know those veteran players and they know the price they're going to pay. So again, work in progress, you're accurate on what you're saying, that there is stuff going in around the net, but Mankato always gets it. You know, that's how they score their goals.
Second, next question is, there seems to be an alarming trend while we are on the penalty kill of allowing a team to have time in the zone. What can the team do to break up these extended in-zone possessions to help us improve when killing off a penalty?
Yep, good question. And it's, again, an area that we've been working on a little bit better this weekend is those second and third chance opportunities. It's not enough just to be in position and force a shot where you can block it and things like that, or force a pass into an area. You have to look, anticipate, yearn for opportunities to challenge in areas where you can challenge, where you're not going to get bit too hard, or to go after when the shot does come, to win those 50-50 puck battles or 40-60 puck battles, and to come out on top of those and win those and get those out. That's what we had last year. Again, I go back to it in Neville and Sturles. That's why we'd bite off a minute and 40 with them on the penalty kill. And that's why we'd have Hannah and Roy out there and then Berksy and move Leibinger back to defense because of their highly competitive nature. So that's a big part of it is the shot blocks and which we're getting better at. Another part of it is eliminating those second and third chance opportunities. And when you have a chance to outnumber and you have a chance to get a one-on-one battle situation, to come out with that, with a victory in that, and be able to clear the puck.
Next question. As a spectator and a huge Michigan Tech hockey fan for the last 6 years, I feel I'm still learning all the ins and outs of the game. And the question here is, Coach, on the power plays, this listener and fan says, a little bit confused on the power plays. With only 2 minutes on a power play, I would think the players on the ice would play with a great deal of intensity, attacking the net and trying to score. There are times it seems to me that the players feel no pressure of time and are somewhat lackadaisical on the ice. Am I wrong on this? And what can be done to increase the intensity if I'm not?
Thanks, Laura. That's my wife sending that question in, I'm sure.
It's not.
you're absolutely right on that. There is a sense of urgency. That's what I thought we lacked against Huntsville was that we just eating seconds with the perimeter, and they're protecting the middle of the ice and eating seconds. Now, there is something to be said for a team that's quality and competitively protecting that hard ice. We did that against Mankato this week, and their shots on the power play were up until the 5-on-3 were minimal on Friday and Saturday. I think we'd killed 7 straight, I believe, is what we killed. Now, they got the one at the very end of one, but I think we killed 7 straight power plays against Mankato, which is a phenomenal power play. And then they scored the 2 5-on-3s at the very end. But you do have to, at some time, figure out ways to penetrate, and you have to be willing to do that and not looking for the perfect play, but again, get that puck into that hard ice. So a lot of what we're facing right now, a lot of what we're growing with is compete level. We've upped it in practice, we've upped it in every aspect of what we're doing, but it still comes down to the individuals getting in there and winning those battles. So you have to have a desire for hard ice. You have to have a desire for getting your nose in there and a punch for a punch. And that's what we're trying to get out of our guys, is that. And it can come from a coach, it can come from the staff, and it has to come and be led by that. But the yearn that you have as a group is, and when you know you got it, is when it comes internally. Mm-hmm. And that's why we go back to such great leadership with some of the guys we've had in the past. I mean, Matt Roy's going to do it, and he's going to tell you, block the shot, you know, or he's going to tell you, get that puck, you know what I mean? Or, you know, they're going to do those things, and that's what you have to have, and we're still evolving in that. I'm proud of the direction. I'm happy with the direction that we're going with it. We have a good hockey team, but without that work ethic, that's our mainstay, and that's what we're still establishing.
Final question, actually, you kind of answered it, but Coach is asking, can you teach compete level? Can it be taught?
What I found is if you're innately not that aggressive, it doesn't come naturally. But what you do and what we're trying to do is up the compete level in practice, so that it's not as foreign to them. Not allow players to hide in practice. Not allow them to take drills off or take So if we see that happening, we'll get right into a battle drill and make them get their mouthpiece locked in and go at it, just to make sure. And again, it's growing. That Mankato team is a good team. We're not there yet, but we weren't there last year at this time. Last year we went in there and got annihilated twice.
Right.
So, and this is a better team than they had last year. I'm not saying we're as good as we were last year. I'm not saying that we have the people in the right place that we did last year. But what I am saying is that I'm proud of and I'm happy with the direction that we're going.
All right, we'll take a quick timeout. Be back with a preview of the big weekend coming up and take a look at some other WCHA action over the weekend and what's coming up, too, on the Joe Sean Hour.
Oktoberfest sale time at your party headquarters, Bucko's Party Store in Calumet. All six packs of bottled beer are on sale. All 2 liters, $2 for $3. Keep things cool with nice ice prices. 4 bags, $5. All Pepsi 12-pack cans are $2 for $9. Jack's Original Pizza is only $3 for $11. Red Baron Classic Pizzas are $3 for $9.99. Bucko's, your Keweenaw Alpaca clothing headquarters of the area. Save your bucks at Bucko's and buy a Bucko's t-shirt to prove it. All sales do not include tax or deposit at Bucko's.
Are you frustrated with the rising cost of insurance or concerned you might not have the right coverage? Hi, I'm Marcia Franti of the Turvo Agency in Hancock. Whatever your situation, single, raising a family, or happily retired, we can help you put together an insurance package that both fits your budget and provides the insurance protection you need and deserve. As an independent agency that represents many insurance companies, we offer more choices, more options, more security, and more peace of mind. Put the Turvo Agency to work for you at 482-0080.
Keweenaw Automotive, across from Walmart in Houghton, is the one-stop shop for all of your automotive needs. From their impressive lineup of pre-owned vehicles, state-of-the-art service facility, and the lowest tire prices you'll find anywhere, Keweenaw Automotive has you covered. A locally owned, family-owned business for over 31 years. You're sure to get the service you deserve from the good folks at Keweenaw Automotive. Follow their Facebook page for new inventory, tire specials, and other exciting giveaway promotions. You can also find them online at KeweenawAutomotive.com or by phone at 482-7988.
The Kaleva Cafe, Quincy Street in Hancock, has been serving great food for generations, 7 days a week, with home-style service and huge portions. They have a tasty menu for everyone, with all homemade food, including pasties, soups, hot and cold sandwiches, Italian cuisine, pizza, breakfast served all day, and the best coffee around. Enjoy a Sunday turkey dinner with all the fixings for only $9.95, as well as daily lunch and dinner specials. Hours at the Kaleva Cafe, 7 till 9, Monday through Saturday, and Sundays, 8 till 9.
In sports, movement is a force to be reckoned with. Your feet fuel that force. At Northern Foot Care Center, Dr. Remingan knows how to treat athletes, getting them back in action sooner. When your feet feel good, performance increases. Games are won and records are crushed. You want answers? We have them. Technology cutting edge. Experience over 28 years. Results game changing. Pro sports teams have the best foot and ankle experts. Now you have one. Call 482-9950 or click northernfootcare.com.
Coach Bergeron comes to the John McKenna Student Ice Arena again. Last time we saw the Falcons of Bowling Green was the big double overtime win for Shane Hannon and the Huskies in the championship game of the WCHA playoffs. This is a good team. They beat Minnesota State a couple of weeks ago at home, and they tied and won last week against Fairbanks. A couple of freshmen playing really well right now. Cameron Wright and Max Johnson for the Bowling Green Falcons, leading the way right now with 7 and 6 points. So, again, this is a team that we always match up pretty good against, it seems like, Coach.
Yeah, it's going to be it's another great opportunity to see where we're at. It's another great opportunity to get it done in critical games against big teams. These are games that you really look forward to. They you just learn so much in these games as players and as coaches.
Yeah, do you know much about their goaltending coach? They have the freshman in there that Eric, I think is pronounced Stop. Yeah. And of course Bednar's been there. He was there last year as a freshman. Seem to be splitting most of the games right now. One's played four, one's played three.
Yeah, the typical Bowling Green goaltenders. They're kind of they're blocky in the net and puck blockers and quality goaltenders. So I imagine we're going to see both of them this weekend. We've already done our pre-scout work on it. We work ahead on that, so we've already done our pre-scout, so we have a pretty good feel.
The Falcons come in with a record of 3-3-1 overall, and they are 2-1-1 with 7 points in the WCHA right now. They have yet to win on the road this season, if I'm right. Yeah, 0-2 on the road, 3-1-1 at home right now for the Falcons. Take a look at some other action from over the weekend, Coach. Just want to get your comments on the Ferris State Bemidji weekend, a 2-2 overtime tie on Friday night, and Bemidji with a nice shutout against the Bulldogs on Saturday night.
Yeah, they got Bemidji's loaded again this year. They returned most of their team. I just saw that. I think White Cloud, defenseman from Manitoba, is on the Canadian.
Yes,
he's on the list as a potential for the Canadian Olympic team. So good for him. We liked him last year. He kind of came out of nowhere and grew. So they still have Bitzer in the net, the player of the year, and talented goaltender. And they got the Fitzgerald triplets, so they're loaded. They returned most of their lineup. Bowling Green returned most of their lineup. Mankato returned most of their lineup. So those are all the teams, the target teams in within the league. And Ferris is always extremely well coached. I don't think there's a team in college hockey any better coached than what Bobby Daniels and his staff does at Ferris. So you got to give credit to Bemidji.
Now you look at the non-conference series between Michigan State and Damon Whitten going there with Lake Superior, his own playing grounds there. 4-3 on Friday night, the Spartans win, and then they really took it to the Lakers in that second period on Saturday night, scoring 4 goals. Tough non-conference weekend for Lake State.
Yeah, and in the first game, Michigan State went out to, a 4-0 lead, and Lake State came back, and it just fell short. So those non-conference games are big. I'm sure it was a lot of fun for Damon to go back there and for Mike York to go back there and play at that rink, and I know that they would have wanted better results. But again, they're trying. And good job for Dan Cole, the job he's doing there and turning around that Michigan State team. So, but we're certainly pulling for our league to do better non-conference.
Yeah, and a tough weekend for Huntsville. They go to Cornell, and they're on this forever road trip to start the season off. First 8 games or whatever on the road. 5-1 on Friday night, Cornell wins, and then 3-0 on Saturday night.
Yeah, and then in those games, actually on the Friday game, Huntsville was handed it to him pretty good through the first half of the game, first 2 periods, dominating in the shots, and they were just down, and then maybe Saturday the wheels came off a little bit.
So a big weekend coming up for the Ferris State Bulldogs. They'll be at Michigan to take on the Wolverines on Thursday night. And is that just a one-game weekend there?
I imagine what they'll probably do is be going a home-and-home, and probably they'll play another Tuesday or Wednesday night game at some point down in Ferris.
And that's what it is. Okay, yeah, that'll be on Thursday night. Our big series starts at 7:07 on Friday night, Coach, and I'm excited to come back home and watch this team against a very good Bowling Green team.
I'm excited to go to practice today. I think that we'll have a lot of enthusiasm and a lot of energy, and I'm excited to see the guys.
And Todd Keelanen was on the road this weekend, correct, as the backup defenseman?
Yep, Todd's done a good job. He's working hard, and as all our players are. He's competing, and I think he's close. Our defensemen are doing so much they're moving the puck. Donahue's doing a great job for us. Mitch Meek is doing a tremendous job for us. So some of our young guys are doing a fantastic job, and it's just hard to crack that lineup.
It is. And game time 7:07 both Friday and Saturday night. Tune on into our pregame here at Mix 93 at 6:30 as you're making your way to the John McKinnis Student Ice Arena. Tickets are available at the Central Ticket Office right now by calling 487-2073. And again, both games at Friday and Saturday night at 7:07. All right, ladies and gentlemen, that'll do it for the show today, the Joe Sean Hour. And, well, unless Coach can answer a question really quick here, somebody just sent in a question. It says, Patrick Munson's goals against average right now is 317 at the moment. Is this too high, even though we've been scoring 3.22 goals per game?
Yeah, the questions you've had have been absolutely tremendous. That's the biggest area that we have to improve is on our goals against, that's a lot of personnel. There's many goals that are going in that he doesn't have, you know, much of an opportunity on. If you look back on it, there's a lot of other areas that we have to make sure that we're continuing to improve in.
Coach, have a great week of practice, and we're looking forward to the games on Friday and Saturday.
Great, thank you.
Huskies are home. Get your tickets. That's the Joe Sean Hour right here on Mix 93 WKMJ.
You're listening to your favorite music from the 80s.